And one of the things I wanted to ask you about life in the village before you left the village and went to Odessa was...
The village?
Well...
It wasn't a village.
The city.
City?
I still think of it as being really small.
No.
But it was big. Right?
No. It's like a Nazi in a commercial school. So it was a city. Village.
That's right. It was larger than that.
Much
How many people do you think lived there?
50,000.
Oh. Some village.
Yeah. See, I was only just here. Now you've got 50 people, 50 families.
Mm-hmm. So, and what I was going to ask you was, how were babies delivered?
Whoa.
Was there a midwife, or did you go to the hospital?
I?
No, not you. But
oh, you mean they? They had midwives.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done in the house. And it was survival of the fittest.
Uh-huh.
That's true. If she could, you know, she couldn't get any help from, if it turns unnatural, unnatural birth, mm-hmm. there was nobody to help her, then sometimes the mother and child died, or sometimes just the child, or sometimes just the mother.
Were there many midwives, or was there only like one person?
No, there were a few, not many, maybe one or two.
Mm-hmm.
All the surroundings were not the proper, the proper surroundings for, like, you need a lot of, in a house, and a child to be born, you need a lot of hot water, let's say, sanitation that wasn't, nobody had an idea what sanitation meant, and medication that wasn't, they had cultures, and you even only in that book you may find it. Culture was a doctor who didn't get aimed to be a doctor, he never made it.
Mm-hmm.
Or he didn't even think you go that far. You just got an idea about certain things you have to do, but nothing about giving birth to a child, helping in giving birth to a child.
Were midwives, did women who become midwives, was that something by chance, or did they usually come from a family of women who had each been midwives?
No, not necessarily. They just thought it was maybe a practical business.
Mm-hmm.
That she would be paid better than anybody else. But she really wasn't prepared for that job.
Huh. Did you ever see a midwife?
Sure. She was just, if you see her on the street, you can tell her apart from all the others that weren't selling fruit on the market or chickens on the market.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't tell her apart. She didn't know the first thing about how to touch anything. She wouldn't wash her hands when she'd come in. Mm-hmm. You know, when you give birth, and sanitation is the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
And contributing to normal birth, and she didn't know that. And the main thing is that it was just a choice, life and death.
When a woman was pregnant, was she supposed to stay inside and not let anybody see her condition, or was okay to walk around even if you had a big belly?
Oh yeah, that was natural, because everybody else did it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the skirt tightened, it didn't mean that you have to have a skirt to fit your new shape.
Mm-hmm.
You were still wearing as far as you could go, you were wearing the same skirt until maybe a mother or a grandmother left one of the skirts that was bigger than they were wearing. Because I'm talking about the poor class of people,
mm-hmm.
like we were.
What would the richer people would have special clothes?
The richer people probably would also go out of town to give birth.
Mm-hmm.
See, to bigger cities.
Would they deliver babies at hospitals then? Could you?
Yeah, they deliver babies not in our city,
mm-hmm.
but in the bigger cities they did. But very few did.
Mm-hmm.
Very few could afford it.
Was there a certain number of children that you most people wanted to have? Was there any special number, like you had to at least have 3 or 5 or any?
No matter, as long as you could go on having children, that was about your good.
Mm-hmm.
You know that my husband was one of, I think, 16 or 17 children.
Oh, my goodness.
A few died in the practice.
So your family was unusual then?
Not my family. I'm talking about my husband's family.
I know, but your family was unusual, but it was small.
Oh, because my father died so early.
So you were in a small family compared to most?
Sure, I was one of 3 kids.
Mm-hmm.
That couldn't be supported in Dobby got 3.
Lucky for your mother, if she'd had any more, I don't know what you would have done. Okay, why don't you tell me about your plans to move to Odessa and how you left the city and left the school?
See, the revolution was coming closer and closer, and the youth was aiming at the big city anyway, because soon the revolution was not attractive. You had the Black Sea and the boats coming and going from one port to the other. And in my head, always, was the idea of learning. Not that I accomplished much, but I aimed at. So Odessa was my next aim in life, and I got there, and I just went to take the exams, and I got there. And there I was for 2 years.
Can you tell me, how did you feel the revolution coming closer and closer? I mean, what were practical things that you could see happening?
Well, I told you last time, I think we dwelled on that, now that I care to do it again. Well, you know, even if you haven't got the newspapers readily as you do here, people are traveling, and you hear, and some people did get a purpose. From the big city, they travel to small towns and meet some people and tell them that they didn't know that there is such a thing as Gorky.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about Gorky? Or do you know anything? Have you heard of Lenin or things like that? A lot of people knew that Lenin wasn't in Russia, but he was Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, then it spreads, then you tell your...
So it was word of mouth.
Yeah, word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the bigger cities, there were newspapers. Maybe they would bring along a newspaper to spread it. But they didn't have newspapers in our town.
Did you travel to Odessa by yourself? Or
no, my mother came with me to make sure that I'm taken care of from the place that I'm here. It was somebody she knew from the small town that moved to, because married to Odessa, she knew her, and she wanted me to stay in a place that she knows the owner, that they don't mistreat me or anything.
Mm-hmm. So it was a friend of your mother's who agreed to board you?
Yeah, it was. I tell you about the boarding place, that's a story by itself. It was a husband, a wife, a daughter, married daughter, and a girl and a boy. So how many were there? 3, 5. And they lived in a one bedroom, in a, they call it a front room, which it was in a small kitchen. Take this place. The place there that I'm telling you about wasn't that big, and it was divided. The bedroom was without a light, without a window.
So where did you?
So they rented. They rented out.
Mm-hmm.
They rented me any place. So made them, and many times they slept on chairs. They made from chairs. They put them together and made just enough room for you to put, like a percrusta. Do you know anything? The course of that's a Greek. It's how they treated the people. They adjusted the people to the bed.
Uh-huh. I see.
She's the size of the bed, instead of the bed, she's the size of people. So, anyway, these were the places. So, it wasn't a question, are you comfortable? For one thing, when you're young and you're 16 or 17, you don't care so much, you can sleep under the floor. And it was like sleeping on the floor. So, anyway, see, the two children, the younger children, they had with them in the bed, in the bedroom, wherever they placed them. They only had one bed, a double bed. And the daughter, while I was there, the oldest, was his daughter. I don't remember that his wife died or divorced it. And this was supposed to be a stepmother of hers. So she was about to give birth to an illegal child. And she's down on the floor when I was there.
All by
herself? Yeah, without a doctor. I think they called that woman. I went to the market and I think that the baby was there.
How come she had to keep it such a secret?
How come? She couldn't be supported by anyone. I don't know, even if she would know her husband or boyfriend or whatever you call him, maybe she couldn't even find him again. They wouldn't make him support her. He couldn't be supported himself. How would he support her? And that's the tragedy of not only, that's was known for a city of prostitutes because it was on the Black Sea. I emphasize Black Sea because there was a lot of traffic there going. That was Kherson, you never heard of the state of Kherson. Okay. That's a state. See, Russians know the minute you mention them. So they used to, there was a lot of commotion there, boats coming and going, and a young man. Here they were saying a man in each port, do they have?
A woman in every port.
A woman. So that's what happened there.
Was the woman... wasn't disowned by her family for having an illegal child, though, was she?
She was disowned, but I don't think it was a stepmother to begin with.
Oh, no.
And it's only because, I suppose, of the father that insisted that she shouldn't be thrown out. And then I don't know what happened to her more than that. Maybe she went back to prostitution.
So you weren't very close to this family?
Just that they were very clean. I used to be very cranky, but that's when my mother landed me. She said, I know one place that you won't be afraid to eat, that you won't be dead, you won't be so bad. So she brought me to that house, and she used to keep that house so clean, and that was why I was staying there. Because you think it's foolish?
How much did you pay them to live there?
Maybe 50 cents a week.
But you didn't spend much time at home then, it doesn't sound
no,
like.
No. There you go, you know, it's like long hours to school. Not 3 or 4 hours like you.
Did you have a regular kind of schedule every day?
Yeah, they had. School was very good. It's great.
Well, tell me about school in Odessa, what you liked, what you didn't like, what the schedule was like.
I don't remember the schedule, but it was, well, we had to learn some literature, grammar, syntax, math, arithmetic, algebra.
How is it different? How is it different from the school in your hometown?
In Odessa? Well, it was more advanced.
Were the students different? Did you feel like you were in with a different class?
Oh, yeah, they were more sophisticated. They were a big city. Odessa was a big city.
You told me last week about that they would have dances. And there was a big social scene.
Yes,
could you
yes.
talk a little bit more about that?
Well, I don't remember how often, but once in a while, dancing was considered an important part. She maybe ballet developed from the Russians known for the ballet. But it wasn't ballet that we were taught, it was just dancing. And every now and then they used to have a big room in school, like they have here, if you see a lane, not on the same, not in that size, because the whole school wasn't, it was just a private school, like. But they had a hall, and the kids would come in, and they had free time, and then they'd arrange, and they call it, you know, it was like a ball, and they would be music and dancing. That's when my cousin taught me right there.
Were you popular at school?
No.
No? Were there people who were popular?
Yeah, the rich people were popular.
Mm-hmm. What would they do? I mean, why?
Well, they would dress differently.
Mm-hmm.
They had their hair not done, but they were young kids, so everybody. But they had somebody to help into their hair, you know, make their hair look nicer, and see that they're clean and that they are wearing better clothes. And they're more attractive.
Do you think that the teachers or the school administrators discriminated against the poor students? I mean, was there a big difference between the way they treated you in class?
I don't think so. Maybe they treated them with more respect, but also there could have been a reason why they treated them better. They always had somebody in the house, a special help for the children, the rich people, that would help them to do work in school.
With homework.
You see, they'd always have a French, most of them had French governess. You know, French was very accepted. So they had them, and they could advance better. Although I ended up having a few students that I learned by teaching.
Well, how did all this rich kids and French governesses, how did that go with the revolution? I mean...
Oh, it didn't. The revolution broke out in the... then they started to draft governors, French governors. They were glad when they were left alive by themselves. They didn't go. They just realized that this is the end of their luxuries.
Did a lot of people leave school? A lot of the richer kids leave school?
No, not school. I don't think they left school. Everybody who was going to graduate could graduate. It wasn't that they discriminated. It started right away discriminate. If they did, they discriminated against the parents, and those the parents became poor. It had an effect on the children, wouldn't it?
Did the revolution just break out all of a sudden one day? You knew that today was the revolution, or was it a gradual thing?
It started out by talking quietly. I think the Tsar was killed. Then who killed the Tsar? Who do you think killed the Tsar? And we knew that some students were organized for the revolution, but we didn't understand what really the revolution was. But when they started talking about the Tsar being killed, all his family being killed, we knew that it's a serious business. Being without the Tsar, somebody else. And then it started out with Lenin coming, that Lenin is coming again. See, so the news spread, because even though it was very slow, nothing like... You listen to television now in a second, you know who's killed, who's alive. But even at that, with the slow motion, it still reached, especially reached the youth.
So what did people start doing once they stopped whispering about the Tsar? Were there the demonstrations, or did people
They were waiting for some leaders.
Mm-hmm.
See, every change produces a leader. The leader is there, but you don't know of them. The leader doesn't make the revolution always. The revolution produces the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if a revolution would break out, you'd be good.
So where did the leaders come from in Odessa?
Well, they were in Odessa. Where did they have to come from?
Well,
they were some biggest... They moved around from biggest to wherever they was... the grounds were ready, more ready than other cities.
Mm-hmm.
See, like wherever there was a bigger organized group, let's say. You expected it to be in Moscow or Leningrad. So there were the news spread from, and they used to send out their people to get the people to know what's going on.
I guess what I'm asking is that people realize that the Tsar has been killed and that Lenin has moved and the Bolsheviks have taken over. What then did the Bolsheviks in Odessa, or the revolutionaries in Odessa, what did they tell the people of Odessa that they wanted to do? What was their strategy? What did they
the
want?
One thing they wanted, the first thing they wanted to stop the war, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was very important.
But in Odessa, what were people planning to do? Just in
Odessa? Well, organize, go out on the streets and talk for the revolution, to show the revolutionaries.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had obstacles, you know. The white guys didn't give up so easily. You know who the white
guys
are? Yeah. The Nikin Kolchak.
Cossacks.
Well, Cossacks is a form of a group of people. But the Cossacks weren't as well known as... may have been Cossacks that were really revolutionary. But see, when I say Kolchak or the Nikin, these were the leaders of the white guards.
Mm-hmm.
That were counter-revolutionary. They were the ones that went out with slogans, kill the Jews to save Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew that what they stood for.
Did you feel like there was a war going on in the city between the white and the red?
Oh, you know. Being Jewish, we knew right away, for one thing, because the first victim, we were riding, I remember, on one night. We were staying, it's so cold, my mother took sick, it was maybe sub-zero weather, and we were hiding outside because they were trying to get in another Jewish home wherever they could and kill the people. See,
that was in your old
in
city?
In the small, yeah. But it was down in the bigger city too,
mm-hmm.
In the bigger the cities. See, up there it was more organized than it was in the... sometimes in the smaller towns you have to do your own fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Individual fighting that wasn't done in the bigger cities, in Moscow.
Was there a mayor in Odessa or a workers' council or a Soviet or anything that was running the town?
You mean at the time of the revolution?
The revolution.
No. See, they kept on changing, but sometimes it was very hard to define who is who. Sometimes they dress up like Bolsheviks and they were truthful and not Bolsheviks.
Mm-hmm.
They were enemies of the... So till you found out who is who, sometimes they matched along with you and you accepted them as friends, only to find out that they were your enemies.
Tell me again about the episode where you went to open up the warehouses that had...
Oh, that was in our small town.
Was it? Well, go ahead, tell me.
Well, everybody was hungry. That's the beginning of the story. Looking for food and not finding it. So they knew there was a big, what do you call it, where they keep the extra...
Warehouse?
Yeah, warehouse. on a small screen, everything on a small screen. Nobody knew what was inside it. So they opened up openings that they found salt there. And instead they found sugar, bags of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So just like one person now and started crying, oh, we didn't want sugar, we wanted salt. Could you imagine that salt was more important than sugar?
Mm-hmm.
Could you? Then everybody was, well, there was no salt, so everybody was grabbing as much sugar as he could. And they didn't have anything to carry it in. And if some people were lucky to have more than one bag, so he didn't get extra sugar in his bag, or because it was bulk, or everything was torn and dirty too. If you could get a bag from him, then you let him have the extra sugar in his bag. I think but nothing was organized there that you got in and you got 5 pounds of sugar or something. This was whatever you could grab, you got.
When you were in Odessa and there would be demonstrations, were they like demonstrations today, people just walking around with a sign, selling papers, were they more militant, were they more?
They were more militant, but they were newspapers, but also on a small scale. It wasn't like mass production, because you know, they had those hidden, what do you call it, they were printing the paper, printing press. Because the kind of newspaper they were printing was, they couldn't have in the open.
Mm-hmm.
So they underground print.
How would you buy an underground paper?
Yeah, one would have it and give it to your neighbor. You didn't throw away your paper. Mm-hmm. It went from person to person. You were lucky if you got it.
Do you remember any of the ones that you read in particular that you liked? Or that you read?
Yeah, I don't even remember. No. Maybe novice. Novice means news. But I'm not sure that was there. See, after a while there was Pravda. I don't remember the first one.
Were any of the students at your school in political groups? Did they have clubs or organizations?
The kids in school, I don't remember them participating. See, I lived in a school, but others than that, I didn't have anything in common with them. Because most of the kids, they were rich people. There were only a few, like myself, that were in school. See, the poor people didn't have a chance to go to school. They weren't ready to accept the school.
I get the feeling that your school wasn't very affected by the revolution. It doesn't sound like everyone dropped their books and ran out the door.
No. They just marched along. If there was a march, they marched along.
Mm-hmm.
See, but they weren't organized. See, two older people than that, older students, graduates maybe, already graduate students. Do that too much, and then we were willing to march along. In our town, is small, in that small town, we marched mostly with workers. And I think I mentioned to you last time that there was only one slogan to carry, one car to carry. So somebody took the card marching with it, so there was one worker that dropped up and said, it's my revolution. He grabbed that slogan from him to carry. He said, he wanted to carry it because he's the worker's part. He represents the workers. And he took it from the national. But most of the kids, the people that worked there in the small town, were ignorant. They were workers, maybe farmers too, but they didn't know much of the revolution. In the big cities, they had organized intellectuals that have mentioned about, that have written about here and there. And they knew what the revolution stood for.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, is the school in Odessa.
No, I never saw anybody that I knew and they're dancing, marching along. And don't forget that they were still, they didn't get the idea of what's behind them. They couldn't march along with the new regime. They didn't care for it much. These kids, you know, the British parents.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't strike them as very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because their parents were in trouble.
Right.
And therefore they were in trouble themselves too.
Did you ever cut school? Did you ever not go to school because you didn't want to?
No.
No? You all?
I always wanted, I couldn't always, but I wanted to. I told you that I was working when I was a kid, maybe 12 or 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My mother thought it was a good idea that I earn a lot of money, maybe $10 or $15 a year. I don't think that's enough, $20 a year. So I dropped school, and then every child that passed with a books going to school, I envied every child that went to school.
So once you got to go to school, you never wanted to miss a day?
No. I kept a lot for school. It was easy. But was after me, I haven't got a good memory. Have you?
No better than yours.
No, I didn't have a good memory. But, there are two things required, I think, for knowledge is to be able to comprehend and to want to study, right? So I had one. I won't. Yeah.
You told me also that you worked on a Menshevik farm when you were in Odessa.
Yeah.
Was that
not in Odessa?
Not in Odessa.
That was when I was on. I think it was summer vacation or something. Summertime. See, in the winter time you couldn't work on farms. So on beets, we worked on a beet farm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to dig around the beach so that they develop better. You don't look anymore that. And the products, and we would take the products, not the money. They didn't have any money. It's just the exchange of labor for the products.
Mm-hmm.
It was really this, the title, that this was more communism than you know, exchange, they needed the labor and I needed the planet.
Why were the Mensheviks running this?
They were in power. Yes.
That's right. And this was on summer vacation from Odessa.
Yeah.
Did you work every summer that you didn't go to school?
The Mensheviks didn't work every summer. The Mensheviks didn't last that long.
Right. You were in Odessa for about 2 years, weren't you? So that means two summer vacations. Do you remember what you did the other summer vacation when you weren't working on that farm?
Maybe. I'd have to think. And maybe the time I will go, but I didn't.
Did Laser go to the same school as you in Odessa?
Laser didn't go to any school.
So how did you meet him?
Well, we were neighbors across the street. Just across the street. And he was of a very nice family, and he was a nice person. And he knew Yiddish, in Hebrew, very much, very well. Because better prepared than I was in Yiddish. And it was in the door, it was during the war. And we got acquainted, and we liked each other, we loved each other, and we decided to get married.
What kind of things could you do together before you lived with each other? I mean, what would you do for fun? Just talk, be with each other and talk?
We'd go out for walks. See, there's a special streets there. Because here you can't imagine that because of the cars and you go out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't want to be seen. If you have somebody that you start getting acquainted with and loving with, you want to be away from society, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had to use special streets that people went for walks and nothing else but walks and talk about, discuss things.
Mm-hmm.
And they were now a small town in comparison to Odessa. There was a movie theater we used to go into.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What kind of movies did it have then?
Well, it must have had... it was during the revolution. I don't think they were political movies. I don't even remember. I used to go to movies, but I don't even remember what sort of movies we saw. The sea was usually Friday night. It was before Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
CG Saturday start on the eve of August. So before Saturday, Friday night is considered a holiday. So we used to go to a movie, but not. But I do remember it later going to some entertainment with the Bolshevik. I think it had to be somebody's trial, that somebody committed something against the new regime,
mm-hmm.
the really new regime, and that he was, and they were discussing that there. I remember I was very impressed with the way it was done. But I don't remember the results, and I don't remember the...
How was it done?
Well, people just, the leaders discussed that had this and that crime. The biggest crime was the slogan was, if you're not with us, you're against us.
Mm-hmm.
You know that slogan?
Mm-hmm.
You heard it? Well, maybe he was accused of not being with them, therefore he was against them.
Mm-hmm. And why were you impressed with that?
Well, the way it was done. It was a novelty in our city to have something. You know, when the Bolsheviks came in, they brought in, as little as they were actively at the Maitai, they brought in more life to the small towns than under the Tsar.
Mm-hmm. What was Laser doing if he wasn't going to school? Did he work or...?
Let's see what they had. What they did, they had a big house, and they had, it was like a hotel, but nothing else. So maybe a bigger house is a kid's house, but not as elaborate, it's like Leon and Larissa's house.
Mm-hmm.
Just maybe 5 or 6 rooms. And they would rent out, even yet, 5 or 6 rooms, if somebody came from out of town, you could rent them out a room. See, this, as I told you, was a big city, and there were small, very small towns around.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd come to the city for some reason or other. And that was, they weren't overworked. There was nothing to do in that city.
You told me before that you and Laser decided you didn't want to get married, and you didn't get married until you came to America, and his mother insisted on it, right? His mother insisted that you get married when you moved here.
Yeah.
Why did you decide you didn't want to get married when you were in America? Yeah.
Not in Odessa, that's in our town, Mogilevka, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
They didn't live in Odessa, and I didn't live in Odessa. I came home, and I just
got home. Oh! I'm so mixed up.
Yeah. How would you know all those things?
So he was one of your neighbors back
home.
Yeah,
but you just asked in a small town. You said, what did he do in a small town like that? He asked me. So you should have realized it wasn't for this.
Well, anyway, I was confused. Why did you return back to...
the small town?
To the town from Odessa. Why did
My mother lived there. My sister's whole family lived there.
Well, why weren't you still going to school? Why did you go back?
I graduated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. What happened at graduation?
How did you graduate?
Yeah. Was there a big ceremony and you wore a black robe?
What are you talking about? Nothing.
Nothing.
They just gave you the... see you much longer, and they gave you the paper, graduation diploma.
Mm-hmm.
That was the graduation. Who was thinking of luxuries like that?
So you returned back home after you graduated. What were your plans after you
graduated? What were your plans? You didn't graduate there because you intended to get a job. I didn't have any clue.
Well, what did you want to do with everything that you'd learned?
I learned for knowledge's sake. I think that I wasn't on the ground. Whoever graduated didn't have anything in mind just to get education.
I see.
It wasn't the proper place for getting anything, even in the bigger cities. I don't think girls, you know, women weren't so, there was no room for women yet, not even for the men. You know, there were a lot of people that just weren't organized, although the production already started better after the revolution. They needed a lot of people to work,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't reach the small town. And why didn't they go to big town? It's that's how it was. You graduated, you came home to your family.
So did you return home when you were 18, 19?
19, yeah. I think I came over here when I was 20.
Right. Well, what, besides your friendship with Laser, what else did you do once you were home, since you weren't going to school anymore?
We were reading, walking the streets, or meeting in the evening. The main up there, that's the first thing they did. If you had friends, you'd meet in the evening. And maybe by a candlelight, one would read out loud a book,
mm-hmm.
and others would listen and discuss it.
Mm-hmm. What kind of, do you remember any of the books you read?
Classics, believe me, it wasn't something that you come across. Here you go into the rock store and you read Mickey Mouse.
And besides that, did you just help tend your mother's house?
Oh yeah, we always took care of it, cleaning and cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mother was, she was to take care of us, attending to the kind of business that the business we had.
So how did you make the decision to go to America? How did that, why did you decide to go?
Well, it was at a time when Bolsheviks came in, and then Weigerts came in,